You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, church family, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that's in your New Testament, probably about halfway through your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, today is Vision Sunday, part 2. We're talking all about this vision that God has given us to see Newton reborn. And I am thrilled that you are here today, because listen to me, this vision, it begins right here. It begins with and in and through you and me. And so listen, I said that statement several times last week, and here's what I love. There's a bunch of us that have taken that to heart over the past week. I seriously heard about people right here in our family beginning to take steps to be more involved with the vision, Newton Reborn, that God has given us. Everything from people asking about how can I help out more, or where can I serve, or people signing up to go through Connect, or people getting more involved in the community here in Newton, or even people, I've heard people say, man, I'm going to pray more for Newton Reborn than I've ever prayed before. I heard about one young man here in our church who's now taking part of his lunch break every day to drive around our town and pray. That's what I'm talking about, church family. That's a beautiful thing. And so, listen to me. When we talk about having vision, what we're really talking about is understanding God's vision. God is the one that has the vision. Come on, he's the one who can see the end from the beginning. And so, he's the one who has our best future in mind. And so here's how vision works. Listen, as you grow closer to God, you'll then also begin to want what he wants, and the future he wants for you is amazing. And he will plant seeds of that future, that vision he has for you in your heart. And so you'll start getting passionate about his version of the future, and then you'll start taking steps to follow him and move forward into the life that he has planned for you. Okay, so listen, our role as his kids is to live life with God in consistent and close relationship with him and with his other kids, so that we can all move forward into the future that God has for us, as he then uses us to draw even more and more and more people into the future he has for them. So church, here's a good mental picture for you to keep in mind for your life, okay? As you keep taking steps to follow closely after Jesus, you should be able to, over time, start looking around, and you should start seeing more and more people all around you following Jesus with you. Okay, we said it this way last week. As God does more and more Newton Reborn in your life, he's going to use that to attract other people to him through you. We say it this way. It's called being a disciple who makes disciples. So God has a future in mind for you. And I'll remind you that God has a future, a vision for all of us together as a church family. So listen, if God has called you to be a part of the gathering, if this is your church home, then there is no doubt that at least part, and probably a big part, of his dream for your life is for you to play a significant role in seeing Newton Reborn come to pass, okay? Newton Reborn begins with and in and through you and me. And so with that said, help me out. Come on, let's say our vision statement together. Here, you guys ready? It's gonna be up on the screen. You can look at it, it's all right. Here we go, come on. Newton Reborn. A people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. Church, that is the future we are dreaming of. That is what we want to see happen, okay? In fact, we have a grand vision, don't we? Listen, we want to see all 20,000-ish people here in our town revived and rebuilt and renewed by Jesus for his glory. We aim to see families renewed and neighborhoods restored, crime and addiction and unwed pregnancy rates and divorce rates going down with graduation rates going up. We want to see new restaurants and new businesses and baptisms and Bible stories and block parties. We want to see neighborhood gatherings pop up in every neighborhood in our town. We want to see our neighborhood over here on 6th Street get completely revived and rebuilt and renewed. We have been on a journey together, praying and pursuing a miracle for the Fox Theater. We want to raise $5.2 million so that we can see the Fox completely reborn. Okay, to be a blessing to this entire town right here in the center of our city, and to demonstrate the kind of reborn life that only Jesus can give. We want to use additional funds to facilitate an amazing restaurant right here in the center of downtown. And then can't stop, won't stop, as Jesus continues to pour out a spontaneous multiplication of disciples in our town that will then go way to our region and beyond. Come on, family, would you agree that God has given us an enormous vision? It's huge, isn't it? But I'd even say it this way. It's a miraculous vision. It's a miraculous future, meaning it's going to take a lot of miracles along the way to see this vision come to pass. In other words, God himself is going to have to show up in Newton, Kansas for this vision to come to pass. Amen? But we believe he's already here. And we believe we will see this future come to pass. We believe this vision will be accomplished, okay? Yet stick with me, okay? Here's what's so cool. It's not just a future thing. As we keep taking steps to follow after Jesus, we will get to see more and more Newton reborn happen incrementally all along the way. Come on, has anybody in here had any parts of their lives, have you begun to have your life revived, rebuilt, and renewed in any way since you've been hanging out with us here at the gathering? Can you look around our town and see a difference since God has planted us here as a church right here? Yeah, come on. And so here's what I want all of us to get a hold of today, okay? Listen to me. Yes, some big miracles are coming, and we want them. Anybody need a miracle in their life right now? Yeah, come on. And you want them, don't you? And if we're being real, we want them bad. And if we're being really real, we want them real bad right now. I have yet to ever meet a human being that has ever said this. Waiting is my favorite. I just love waiting. Literally no one ever has ever said that, right? Okay, but look at me. What God wants to do in and through you and me in the waiting is just as important if not, maybe just even more important than what's going to happen when you receive the miracle. Did you like that dramatic effect? Yeah. So listen, a few weeks ago, we talked about running the race that God has for us, okay? Listen, if crossing the victorious finish line, it represents receiving the miracle. If the victorious finish line represents the day that the vision fully comes to pass, then how you and I run the race all the way up to that victorious finish line really, really matters. You seeing this? Because what we do here and now, how we live in the waiting, really matters, okay? So here's the title of today's message, Holding On for a Miracle. Holding on for a miracle. And now, that phrase, hold on, really has a couple of different meanings, doesn't it? For example, okay, here's one way it can be used. Oftentimes, when I get home from work, I am first greeted by me and my beautiful, gorgeous wife over here, and then our 8-year-old son and our 5-year-old son, and a beagle, like all at one time, okay? And in my family, anytime any of us in our house, if we leave the house and we come back, that beagle, it doesn't matter who it was that left and came back, when you come back, that beagle will howl at you until you lay down on the floor with her and spoon her and rub her belly. She's the best. She's spoiled, but she's the best. Okay, so usually, though, when I get home from work, it's all I can do to take off my jacket, set down my keys, and set my backpack down, and then lay down with this beagle and pet her just to get her to calm down, okay? But while I'm laying down on the floor with my beagle, usually my 5-year-old son then runs over and jumps on my back, and here's what he says. He says, Dad, can we go play Legos now? Okay, well, I haven't even kissed my beautiful wife yet, said hi to my 8-year-old, and I haven't even gotten to my comfy clothes yet. You ain't living if you don't put on comfy clothes immediately when you get home from work. Am I right? All the 30-year-olds and above agree. Teenagers think we're all gross, though. So my son is asking if I can play Legos now, okay? But so here's what I usually tell him. I usually say, hold on, son. Meaning, just wait just a minute. Just give me just a minute. Let me kiss your mom. Let me say hi to your brother and get out of these skinny jeans, okay? And so here's the other meaning for the phrase, hold on, okay? Most nights at bedtime in our house, both of my kids want to take turns getting piggyback rides from the living room to their bedroom. Okay, now, I don't know what the deal is, but every time my kids get on my back, they turn into complete squirrels. Like, so on the way from the living room to their bedroom, I have to say several times, I'm like, what is going on back there? I say, hold on. In other words, don't let go. I thought don't let go was the first rule of a piggyback ride. So, all right. Here's where I'm at right now in this Newton Reach Born journey that we have been on together, in the here and in the now with everything that we have been dreaming about, okay? Right now, every time that I pray, here's what I feel like God is saying. Hold on. Hold on. Meaning, wait for it. It's almost here. And, getting this too, don't let go now. It's almost here. Come on, anybody else ever feel like God's just telling you, just hold on. Hold on. It's almost here. All right, the only hang up for us, though, is that none of us know what hold on, it's almost here, what this looks like from God's perspective. But the good news is that God is the one with the best perspective. Come on, he has the best vision. And so, family, listen to me. I would argue that the almost there moments may just be the moments that matter the most. Man, what you do and how you live leading up to the miracle, what your faith in God really looks like may just be more important than the moments you actually receive the miracle. Think about it. Oftentimes you can say this, it's not as important how you start the race as it is how you finish it. How you just hold on and how you hold on really matters. It can make all the difference. Think about actual physical training. Any of you guys play sports or played sports when you were kids or maybe still work out? Good for you. You still work out. That's great. We're all jealous. Okay, do you realize it's the almost there moments where you push yourself to new limits? That's when and where you actually begin to grow stronger so that you can endure more and even hold on longer the next time. And so my brother, my older brother, he's the head strength coach for the University of Nevada. He and I look exactly alike, only he's a foot taller, and he's maybe just a little more shredded than I am because he gets to work out all day long for a living. I'm not jealous, don't worry. But as a trainer of college athletes, here's a principle he has to apply to their workouts. In order for his athletes to produce more muscle growth, they have to keep applying greater loads of stress to their bodies and their muscles than to what they've already adapted to. In other words, man, they've got to keep pushing themselves to new limits. Okay, but we know this. Going to new limits is where it hurts the most. Right? It's in the almost there moments where we're tempted the most to want to give up and quit. Hence, every time you don't give up, every time you don't quit, every time you push through and hold on longer than you ever have before, your grip and your strength gets stronger than it's ever been before. So church family, God wants you to experience and anticipate him doing the miraculous in your life, but he never intended for you just to sit on the bench, or just take it easy, or maybe even grumble and complain as he's off making your dreams come true while you're just chilling out. No. Listen, the in-between moments, the almost there moments are actually all a part of God's plan. He designed these. They're your strength and conditioning process that he has for your life. And so they're designed by God to help you grow and become stronger as the man or the woman he designed you to be so that you can actually handle and fulfill the future and the vision he has for your life. Listen, they're designed to increase your faith, your ability to trust in and commit to and rely upon Jesus, that he is who he says he is and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, that God will keep his promises. So listen, each and every time you hold on and God comes through, when he comes through in your life, God uses those moments to increase your faith in him so that you'll trust him for the next bigger miracle that he wants to do in and through your life. Friends, we have to see this, the in-between and the almost there moments, they matter. You want to know why many of us have such a problem with those almost there moments, though, or the in-between moments? It's because most of us can't stand waiting. And because most of us have bought into the notion that waiting means that life stands still for us. Or we think waiting means that we're going to be stuck in what we're already stuck in, you know, for an unknown period of time, or at least way longer than we want to be in it. But church family, listen to me. Waiting on God is not a passive activity. It's a growing opportunity. One more time. Waiting on God is not a passive activity. It's a growing opportunity. Some of us in here are going through some struggles right now, and we are waiting on God to bring a miracle into our lives, to do something amazing. But listen to me. What if God has actually allowed the trial you're going through right now into your life so that by his grace, your endurance can be stretched? And so by his grace, it can last longer and your faith can grow stronger as you wait patiently on him and the promise he has for your future. What if right now, what if God actually allowed the trial you're going through right now into your life so that by his grace, your grip can get stronger and your faith can get bigger as you hold on to him and the promise he has for your future? Let me show this to you in the Bible, okay? Watch this. This is Psalm 27, verse 4. It says, wait for the Lord. And now watch what you get to do while you wait, okay? It's not passive. Watch this. Be strong. Be strong and let your heart take or increase or grow in courage. In other words, get spiritually shredded. Let your faith get all swole as you wait. As you wait for the Lord. Watch this one, Isaiah 40, verse 1. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. It's getting stronger, isn't it? Come on, it's getting shredded, it's getting ripped, it's getting swole, it's getting stronger. And I love this right here, okay? Come on, somebody get excited about this right here. They will mount up on wings like eagles. Have you ever seen an eagle take flight? Have you watched, you know, Planet Earth or on YouTube or anything? Have you ever seen one take flight in person? Man, listen to this. This is for real. Last year, I was driving to Kansas City. Actually, the last 2 years, I've seen this. On Highway 50 in between Peabody and Florence, there's a pond right off of Highway 50, and there's been eagles there for the last two winters, okay? Last year, I was driving to Kansas City, and I looked over, and there were 7 bald eagles. And one of them, I'm telling you, have you ever seen an eagle soar? One of them soared right over my car. I got all patriotic on the inside. And I'm proud to be an American. I'll tell you what, I was singing. It's beautiful, but man, here's what an eagle can do. Listen to me, here's why this is in there. An eagle, if you ever see this, they can, one flap. They can soar for about 20 minutes off of one flap. That's why this is in here, because look what the next thing says. They shall run, those who wait on the Lord, shall run and not be weary. Come on, they shall walk and not faint. This is what God wants to do in your life. In other words, as they hold on to God in the waiting, God makes them even stronger. They grow, their faith increases, and they keep becoming more and more the men and the women God made them to be so that they can actually handle the miracle and live in and fulfill the vision that God has for their lives. Gathering family, God is calling all of us to live a life of impact and significance, okay? God has a vision for your life, and if he's called you to be a part of the gathering, okay, then part of his vision for your life is for you to play a significant role in seeing Newton reborn. It's a huge vision. But I'm telling you, if accomplished, think about it, it would produce a culture-shifting impact on our region and beyond. Listen, it's not the first time God has called his people to an enormous vision. God has called his people throughout the ages to make an incredible, a significant impact on their world, okay? However, here's what I want you to see today. Any one of God's people who have ever actually made that kind of an impact on their world, they knew how to hold on and how to hold on. My watch is falling off right now. We don't need it, though, because I'm going to be here for a couple hours with you. Never mind. All right. Come on. They knew how to hold on. Okay. You guys want to have some fun this morning? All right. So with your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm actually going to read a good chunk of this chapter, okay? But I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to skip some verses here and there. You can follow along on the screen. The reason I'm having you turn there, though, I really want you to bookmark this. I want you to follow along. I want you to bookmark this, and I want you to get alone in your secret place and read this with Jesus, okay? This is unbelievable, all right? So I'm going to read a whole bunch of verses about God's people who have known how to hold on. And I want you to see this. They had all received miraculous promises from God. In other words, he had planted seeds of a miraculous future that he had for them. And I want you to see their faith, their ability to hold on, which then gave them the strength to handle the miracle when they actually received it, okay? So watch this. I'm going to start in Hebrews 11. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. Watch this. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. There's the promise, but watch how he holds on. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. Skip down to verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah, Abraham's wife, was able to have a child. Watch how she holds on. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so here's the result. God did. And so a whole nation came from this one man. Okay, that's Abraham, her husband. All right? And watch this. This one man who was as good as dead. That's how old he was, church. He was as good as dead. A nation, the nation of Israel, with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. And we are also considered a part of his family. Because of his faithfulness, okay? Verse 17, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, his son, when God was testing him. Come on, when God was stretching him to new limits. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants, all those ones we just talked about, he's the one through whom all those descendants will be counted. Okay, but how can that happen if he's dead? Watch how Abraham holds on, though. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Verse 28, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God. She held on though, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. Newton reborn, they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. They held on, church family, and they received the promises from God precisely because they did not let go. And I believe that by the faith of God's people and their ability to hold on, we will also see Newton reborn, a people in their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. Are you waiting on a miracle? Has God promised you something? Let me just ask it this way. Is there something in your life that needs to be Newton reborn? Come on, don't let go now. I'm telling you, you got to hold on. How tragic would it be to let go right before the miracle arrived? How tragic would it have been if Abraham had followed God right up to the border of that promised land, but then stopped short on the other side? I'm telling you, you got to hold on. How tragic would it have been if Sarah let go of her hope and decided to believe more in her own barren condition than in God's ability to deliver on the promise? You got to hold on. How tragic would it have been if the Israelites would have stopped marching around that city, Jericho, on day 6 rather than day 7 when the walls actually came crashing down? You've got to hold on. Do not let go. And I'm telling you, some of you are close. Some of you are almost there. Don't let go now. Some of you have just started the race. Do not let go. Stick with God, because I'm telling you, even in the here and in the now, right here, he started a process of doing something miraculous in your life, and there is only more to come. He is making you stronger. For some of you, you feel weak right now, but God is making you strong. I want you to hear me. Some of you are going to lead, and you are going to live lives of impact. You feel weak right now, but because of the strength that God is going to pour out in you in this season. And family, I'm telling you, do not let go. We got to keep holding on to this vision that God has given us, Newton Reborn. Do not let go. Has God called you here? Is the gathering your home? If so, he is calling you to play a significant role in seeing Newton Reborn come to pass. And listen, what he's already begun in your life, what he's already doing, and what he has planned in your life, specifically in you, listen, on one hand, that is Newton Reborn. Your life being revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. But church, on the other hand, with God, it's never just about you. It's never just about me. It's always about what God wants to also do in and through you and me for the people of our city and even the city itself. So I'm telling you, as you hold on, as you keep following Jesus, God will use the Newton Reborn that is happening in you. And as you follow him, you'll start looking around and you'll start seeing more and more people right alongside you following Jesus with you precisely because of what you have allowed God to do in your life. He will use it to attract other people to himself through you. Here's my encouragement. Let's get a stronger grip together on this vision than we've ever had before. Listen to me. Don't let Newton Reborn just be this church thing that you do on Sunday mornings. Listen, don't just let God do something in your life in here, but then refuse to let him do it through you out there. Okay, do not live a compartmentalized life, okay? Do not be one person in here with us where Newton Reborn's happening in your life, but then you go out to work and it doesn't run its course through you out there. You have one life, not like four or five different lives you live. You have one life. Let God do what he wants to do in you and here so he can do it to other people through you all week long out there. Friends, I wouldn't trade this Newton Reborn journey that we have been on together. I wouldn't trade this for anything. God has been so good to us. I mean, from day one, he has been so good to us. Just the fact that we are all together is miraculous. Just the fact that you are here is miraculous. The fact that we get to meet in this theater is miraculous. The fact that our church is growing is miraculous, okay? But yes, we are also holding on for a crazy huge miracle. We're believing right now that God's going to show up at some point and provide $5.2 million so that we can see this theater completely restored. Okay, and listen, again, just one step, one next step that God has for us in this Newton Reborn journey. Okay, and I'll be honest with you. I want that miracle bad. I want it bad. And now, we've known from the get-go that it's going to require God to show up and make this thing happen. That we ultimately can't make it happen ourselves, okay? But listen, even about a year and a half ago when we launched our Newton Reborn campaign, just to simply do our part that we believe God was leading us to do in faith, to do our part in partnering with him to see the miracle come to pass. Listen, even a year and a half ago, I wanted the miracle bad, okay? But even though I wanted it bad a year and a half ago, I want you to hear this, the waiting has been so good for me. Okay, the waiting has caused me personally to stop focusing so much on when, God, when are you going to do this thing? And it's caused me to start asking, what, God? What do you want to do in my life right here and right now? What needs to change in me? And so, church, God began to talk to me about things in my life over the last year and a half. He began to reveal sin to me. He began to reveal ways of thinking that I've been living with for a long time that were not what he wanted for my life. I have confessed sin over the last year and a half. And listen, I have not arrived. I got a long ways to go. But I am more free right now than I've ever been before in my entire life. And so here's what I wonder. If we had received the miracle a year and a half ago, would I have ever slowed down to stop and actually say, what, God? What do you want to do in the in-between moments right now? Or would I have been able to convince myself that, no, everything's good right here. And this miracle just proves that everything's fine right here. Come on, church. Can I tell you something right now with a whole bunch of grace? Sometimes we think we need a miracle so bad right now when all we really need is some repentance. Can I encourage you? Some of you right now, you want God to sweep in and do a miracle in your life, okay? But I'm telling you, if you would just begin to do what he's telling you to do with that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know he wants you to deal with, if you just start doing that his way, I guarantee you would begin to find the relief you're looking for. Here's the beautiful part. Repentance is miraculous. Get stoked, somebody. It's miraculous. It's God's way of literally making us more and more like Jesus, more and more into the men and the women he has designed us to be, who can handle and live in the vision and the future he has for our lives. Church family, God has a vision for your life, and if you call this place home, part of his vision, part of his dream for your life is for you to play a significant part in seeing Newton reborn. Okay, and listen, you and I cannot see Newton Reborn all on our own. Come on, you and I need each other. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm getting excited about what God's work, I mean, God's doing a work in this church family. I'm getting excited not just about this church family, but what God's going to do in the church in this city. I think he's going to ignite the church for Newton Reborn. Amen? Amen, but listen, you and I need each other to walk in the future that God has for all of us. You and I need a church family. We are better together. Listen, what step do you need to take? Come on. What step do you need to take to get a stronger grip on this vision, to hold on longer, to not let go, just to begin to ask God, what is it you want to do? What step do you need to take right now to be a part of this vision he's given us? What's that look like in your life? Listen, maybe you need to talk to somebody about that thing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that God wants you to deal with. If you're in a neighborhood gathering, I would encourage you, man, if you've got one of those things, reach out to your neighborhood gathering leader. They love you. They only want to encourage you and walk beside you and see you live in the life and the future that God has for you. Man, grab coffee with them. Tell them what's going on. If you're not yet connected at this church and you need to talk to somebody, grab a connection card and write on it. Say, I need to talk to somebody. And drop that thing in a toolbox. We want to connect with you. If above all, if you're not connected to this church yet, go through Connect and get connected. It starts again the first week of November. Listen, we will plug you into a neighborhood gathering. We'll also plug you in with our favorite people on the planet, Team Reborn. And I'm telling you, as you're a part of Team Reborn, you will begin to get that sense of significance in your life. You will begin to understand what it's like to have ownership over the vision Newton Reborn as you help create spaces and places for other people to come in and encounter Jesus so more and more Newton Reborn can happen in their lives. Well, get connected. Right, listen, right now, this has been on my heart so much lately. Right now, if maybe your next step is this. If you're a person that shows up once or twice a month, make it three times. Your next step is committing to show up three times. And maybe your next step is to bring the tithe, to be faithful to God in that. Maybe your next step is to give an offering for the very first time. Maybe it's time to commit to God that you're gonna meet him in the secret place tomorrow morning. Maybe your next step is to decompartmentalize your life and start being the same person out there as you are with us right here, so that God can let Newton Reborn run its course through your life and in the lives of those people you encounter all week long. Come on, what's your next step? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Church family, man, so many of us, man, you're almost there. Almost there. What's your next step? Because this vision, it begins right here, with and in and through you and me. And I'm telling you, if you will hold on, and if you hold on, God will deliver on his promises he has for you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And hey, if you hang out with us often, I know we ask this question all the time. What's your next step? Don't ever get tired of hearing that question. Don't ever get tired. My encouragement, don't ever get tired of exploring what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and doing what he's telling you to do. I'm telling you, your future is in front of you. As you follow Jesus, your best future is in front of you as you follow Jesus, but you can't stand still and follow Jesus. He's moving forward. Come on, we gotta stick with him. What's he telling you to do? What's your next step you need to take? Do you need to talk to somebody about what's really going on in your life? And we would love to talk with you about what's really going on in your life. I thank Jesus all the time that I've had people throughout my journey as I follow Jesus that I could talk to about what's really been going on in my life. I would not be here today if it wasn't for that. Do you need to get more connected? Do you need to decompartmentalize your life? You need to show up at work tomorrow and be the same person you are right here with us. Are you having your secret place times? Church family, I can't stress that enough. Come on, don't let that thing linger any longer. You need to be with Jesus. You and him. You've got to prioritize alone time with him in your life. He will meet you there. And I'm telling you, the miraculous will begin to pour out into your heart through him right there as you meet with him. You don't want to miss it. Here's my encouragement. What if we just commit together? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? And what if you say, yes, Lord, and what if you mean it? I was so encouraged. A bunch of you meant it last week. Some people took some steps in here. So what if we don't just get churchy on me in your heart and just say, I'm going to commit right now, but I know I'm going to walk out the door later and I'll forget about this thing. No. What if you commit right now? We're going to pray and you say, God, I'm willing and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Come on, if that's you, just pray with me in your heart. God, I commit to do what you're telling me to do. I want to follow you. I want what you have for my life. I'm going to hold on. I'm not letting go. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust that you have my best in mind. I'm going to do what you tell me. And Lord, I pray that as we make those commitments in this room, Lord, would you strengthen your people? God, I do pray, Lord, the picture is soar on wings like eagles. Would you make us into those kinds of people? Would you help us, Lord? Would you make us stronger for even the next time? Would you increase our faith? Lord, would you take the trials that some of us are going through right now and help us get a stronger grip, help us to hold on? And yes, Lord, I pray in your perfect timing, would you provide? Would you show up? Would you deliver on your promise? And I pray we could all look back on the in-between and the almost there moments and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you didn't waste any of it. Thank you that it wasn't just a passive activity. Thank you that you were working in me. Thank you for growing in me. Come on, if you want to grow, if you want to go after him, just tell him, God, I want it. I want it here in now. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Have your way in my life. Jesus, we love you. We need you. We are desperate for you. God, we want to be the people that you have in mind. Use us, we pray, and let this city be reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and my whole church family say, amen. Come on, can we thank God today?
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.